That's Isaiah chapter 6. Now the reading of the Word of God. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphs, and each with six wings. With two wings they covered their face, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. "Woe to me," I cried, "I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Then one of the seraphs flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with thongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth and said, "See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" And I said, "Here I am, send me." He said, "Go and tell this people, be ever hearing but never understanding, be ever seeing but never perceiving. Make the heart of this people calloused, make their ears dull and close their eyes. Otherwise they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn and be healed." Then I said, "For how long, O Lord?" And he answered, "Until the cities lie ruined and without inhabitants, until the houses are left deserted and the field ruined and ravaged, until the Lord has sent everyone far away and the land is utterly forsaken. And though a tenth remains in the land, it will again be laid waste. But as the terebinth and oak leave stumps when they are cut down, so the holy seed will be a stump in the land." We praise God for his portion of his holy word. This is the word of God. Amen. You may be seated. And again, we hold above our heads to show our authority over us in everything we say and we do. So this morning, we're going to continue in our series in Knowing God. Last week, we took a little break because it was Mother's Day, so we had a little fun with that. But we're going to continue in the series because we want to make sure, as I talked about 2 weeks ago, that we understand the characteristics of the one that we worship, the one that we serve, the one we have a relationship, the one that we will spend eternity with. So this morning, if you haven't noticed through the worship, we're focusing on God's holiness. And I would say one of the very most important attributes or aspects of God's character, because his holiness is what sets him apart from every other thing. Holiness, the meaning of it, holiness in the Bible means separation from all that is common or unclean. In respect to God, holiness means not only that he is separate from all that is unclean and evil, but also that he is positively pure and thus distinct from all others. This is why God is God. He is on his own plane. That is why we as his creation, fallen from sin, can do nothing to get to him except through the ways that he makes it able for us. And of course, we know that through the shed blood of Jesus. Because God is holy, it separates him from fallen creation. Therefore, being holy, pure, and righteous, he is and sets the standard according to his holiness. He is the one who sets the standard. He is the one that when Christ was dying on the cross, was able to declare him as the perfect atonement for our sins. This is just one reason why it is important not to put man on a pedestal. All are fallible. We must keep our full trust in the Lord who is holy, perfect, and will never fail us. That's why it's important, and no matter what, you don't put people in church leadership, you don't put pastors, you don't put people above anyone else, because as men and women, we are all sinners, amen? We're all fallible, and our full trust remains in the one who is holy, and that is our God. This also includes in marriages, and kids, and with our friends. We need to understand, sometimes we put certain criteria on certain people, and if you haven't already noticed, people will let people down, even people you've been married to. Your husband, your wife, if you haven't noticed, will let you down. Your kids will let you down. Your friends will let you down. Because we are not holy, we're infallible. But we gain from our strength from our holy God. So some scriptures we look at, holiness is the attribute by which God wanted to be especially known in the Old Testament. Whenever you read about God in the Old Testament, one of his major focuses is to make sure that he declares his holiness. And so in Leviticus 11:44, it says, I am the Lord your God. Consecrate yourself and be holy because I am holy. Do not make yourselves unclean by any creature that moves along the ground. Joshua 24:19-21 says, Joshua said to the people, you are not able to serve the Lord. He is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your rebellion and your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, he will turn and bring disaster on you and make an end of you after he has been good to you. But the people said to Joshua, no, we will turn and serve the Lord. And then finally, Psalms 99:3 says, let them praise your great and awesome name, for he is holy. Holiness is important. And we talked about this in previous years and months that grace is such an amazing thing that we have in today's age of grace through Jesus Christ. But we cannot forget God's holiness. Grace does not give us a free pass to live any way we want and act any way we want because God has forgiven us of our sins by the blood of Jesus. We have God's grace. God's grace and mercy is there for the times when we're trying and hard and we're trusting him and we mess up and we stumble and there's God's grace and mercy. But we are never to have the attitude, I will live or do whatever I want because I am forgiven. We need to remember God's holiness. You know, when we do certain things, you know, today we get kind of lackadaisical. Well, it's just a little sin and God will forgive me. He knows it's all right. No, it's not all right. God hates anything that is unholy. He hates it so much he had to destroy his son on the cross just for our own forgiveness of it. And so we can't take his holiness for granted or lightly. And you know that God is love. God is love, and his love will bring you to the cross. But if you reject the cross, when you stand before him because of his holiness, your sin will remove you from his presence. Love takes you so far, but eventually you have to stand before him, and it comes up to holiness. And either you have the blood of Jesus covering you and you're able to enter into the presence, or you don't. God is love, but he is holy. In the New Testament, it appears in very direct statements. John 17:11 says, I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your love. Your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are. Here Jesus is praying to the Father in heaven, calling him holy, and asking for our protection. The scripture testifies through the words of Christ that just as the Father is holy, so he too is also holy, one and the same. 1 Peter 1:15 says, but just as he who called you holy, so be holy in all you do. Again, to be holy means to be set apart from sin. We are to be motivated by God's holiness. So we need to understand, this is where it breaks down in your mind as a believer. We know that we are not perfect. That's why we need a Savior. All of us here are sinners, all right? No one's better than another. We're all equal ground right here, okay? We all needed a Savior. That Savior is Jesus Christ. Through his shed blood, when we believe upon him, it covers our sins and we have eternal life. There's our eternal life. There's our forgiveness. There's our mercy. There's our grace. But then as a believer in Christ, I need to be motivated by God's holiness. That means I have a standard to live by, a standard that God has given us in his word. And so it's not enough for me just to say, well, I go to church on Sunday or I do this and that. No. I continually challenge myself and allow the Holy Spirit to challenge me in the way I live, in the way I act, motivated by the holiness of God, because as he is holy, so I am to be holy. Amen.
Jesus declares me holy by what he did, but I am still called to live a holy life. And I know there are times when I am going to mess up and stumble and fall. And I have the forgiveness of Jesus, and I have the mercy and grace to help me through those times when I mess up and stumble. But it is not a free pass to just live the way I want. I'm called to live holy as my God is holy, to be set apart from sin. So the application, the absolute innate holiness of God means that sinners have to be separated from him unless a way can be found to constitute them holy. And that way has been provided in the merits of Jesus Christ. And this is why every Sunday I say the same thing over and over again. I always give the example that I'm just about to give right now. God is holy. Because of his holiness, we are separated because of our sin. When we believe in Jesus as the Son of God, that he died and he rose again, we ask him into our life. His blood covers our sins, and because of his blood covering our sins, God no longer sees me and my sin, but Christ's righteousness is upon me, and I could come into the holiness of God because of the merits of Jesus. Because God is holy, he declared that if you believe in my Son, that penalty of sin is enough for you to come and be holy with me in my presence. It is the gospel message. That's why Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through me. You cannot get to God through Buddha. You cannot get to God through Allah. You cannot get to God through your good works. And any other way, all roads don't lead to God. Jesus said, I am the road, and that is it. Because I'm the one that paid the price for your sin. So believe on me, and you'll have eternal life. Amen? Amen? Amen. Amen. That leads me to Ephesians 2:8 and 9, my favorite scripture. We know that we have been saved by grace through faith, and it's not of ourselves, it's a gift of God. It's not by our good works, so you can't, none of us can boast. It is a gift of God that we find eternal life. Our good works won't get us there. Our good works are done to then give glory to God in thankfulness of what he has done for us, and then to share the goodness of God in all he does. So a proper view of holiness of God should make the believer sensitive to his own sin. How many of you are sensitive to your own sin? I'm sure if you are married, guys, I'm sure your wife can tell you what some of your sins are. Vice versa. But are you sensitive to your own sins? Do you understand some of the things that you do that are displeasing to God? Our job is not to ignore those things. Our job is to say, God, open me up and show me them so that I can allow you to be the surgeon, the healer, to come in and change them. I struggle with gossip, God. Okay, I need you to come in and show me the areas where I'm gossiping and stop doing that. I struggle with lusting. I need you to help me and show me, remove that from me. I struggle with alcoholism or drug addiction. God, I need you to come and show me and help me. Luke 5:8, when Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man. It's important to remain humble and acknowledge our sins, that we need a Savior. It's okay to share our past failures in order to praise God and how he has helped us through. As a Christian, humility is a major part of our walk with God. You cannot be afraid to share your failures, because in your failures, it points to a God that has helped you overcome. We humble ourselves. In no way do I ever want to be a church where we just come in here to look good, play all the right parts, say all the right things, and can never acknowledge who we are and what our past is and the struggles we've had, and then the goodness of God and how he has helped us through. We're not called to be Sunday Christians. We are called to be followers of Jesus Christ. And so, you know, there are a lot of churches out there where the pastor will wear a suit every Sunday, and he'll do his thing, and then you don't see him anymore. And all the people come in, and they all look like they know what they're doing, and they all sound real good, but then when you see them out on the road, they'll just walk right past you. We're not calling to be a fake body of Christ. We're called to be Jesus Christ. In the sense, to be a Christian, a little Christ. by God's grace and strength, He leads us to walk in the footsteps that He has walked. And so we too are called to make the difference in those around us. The holiness of God becomes the standard for the believer's life and conduct. This should put an end to often useless discussions over what is permitted and what is not in the Christian life. Proper conduct can be tested by one simple question: is it holy? This is the believer's standard. While he does not always measure up to it, he must never compromise it. You understand that statement? The question is what I'm about to do holy? And though we may not always measure up to it, we must never compromise to it. There are times we're going to struggle, but that is where God's grace and mercy comes in. We should never shrug our shoulders and give up. It should motivate us to continually allow the Holy Spirit to work and change within our hearts. 1 John 1:7 says, "If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, purifies us from all sin." To walk in the light is to live in obedience to God's commandments. Two things result from walking in the light. Number one, fellowship with other believers. And number two, continual cleansing from sin. Since walking in the light brings to light other sins that need cleansing. I don't know about you, but every day I need to be refreshed by the Holy Spirit and showing where I need cleansing in my heart. And as I am in His Word, as I walk in the light, the light continually shows the dirt, the things that need to be cleaned. You know, a room looks pretty clean in the dark. As soon as you turn on the light, you can see the mess that it could be. That is the same with our heart. As we walk in the light, God's Word shows us the things that need to be cleaned up in our hearts. And so we worship God in His holiness. We praise Him that His Son paid the price for our sins so we can no longer be separated, but instead clothed in Christ's righteousness. And so in closing, when Moses stood before God in the burning bush, He said, "Moses, remove your sandals, for you are standing on holy ground." If you want to come into the holy presence of God, it's time to remove your pride. Humble yourself before God and call out to the Savior who makes all things new and removes the separation of a holy God from you. That is what it's about. Do you know who Jesus is? Because He is the only way into the presence of a holy God. Hebrews says He is our great high priest. And then once you know Him, it is your job to share with others how to know Him so that they too can come into the presence of a holy God. And then as you're doing that, it's not enough just to shrug your shoulders with the struggles of your sin, but as He is holy, we too are to be holy and to be set apart from this world, which is drastically destroying itself. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank You and praise You for Your holiness. We thank You for the standard that You set, and we don't have to fear Your holiness. We need to embrace Your holiness. Let it be a motivator in our heart to be more holy. And that holiness does not come from our own strength or action, but through the power of the Holy Spirit that helps lead us in Your holiness. And the power of the blood of Jesus that covers us in Your holiness. Lord God, we thank You and praise You that You have already set these things up for us, that all we need to do is trust and walk in obedience to You. We love You, Lord God, for You are the Holy One. You are the great I Am. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Continually just come before You, Lord. And Lord God, as we focus on today, Lord, Your holiness, Father God, Lord, as we continually press on and push forward, I pray, Lord, that we come before You, Lord, and truly ask ourselves, are You truly the great I Am? Or are You just a part that You play in our lives? Father God, Lord, I pray, Lord, that we take serious, Lord, just knowing that just because I acknowledge You as God doesn't mean that things will get better or things will change. Just because I might read the Bible, just because I might show up on Sunday, just because I sing songs, doesn't mean that You're the Lord of my life. Father God, Lord, I pray we take serious the note of just being called a Christian, because what a huge title that means. As Pastor proclaimed, it means little Jesus. That is huge. And I pray we take serious of that. Father God, Lord, as we look at ourselves, Lord, are we alive or are we dead? Are you alive or are you dead? Father God, Lord, who are you in our life and who is Christ to us? Are you just one of the many gods that are out there? Or are you it? When we pray to you, Lord, are we like a reed in the wind, just speaking words but never believing that they will come true? Do we hope things will happen? Or are you truly our hope? Who are you to us? Father God, Lord, I pray that we just really start getting focused on who you really are. I pray this is not just a ritual. I pray that we don't come here just to stand and say, my time is done. But I pray, Lord, that we really want to grow in you. I pray, Lord, that when our time here is done on this earth, that we stand before you and we can hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. Welcome to your resting place. I pray that we do not hear, Lord, Lord, look at the many things I've done for you. Away from me, I knew you not. Father God, Lord, we have security knowing that if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, your word says we will be saved. It doesn't say you might be saved or you could be saved. It says you will be saved. I pray, Lord, that we put our hope and trust and our complete obedience and faith in you and not just wonder and question or just have you a part of a little play in our life, but you are the master of every moment and every second of our lives. I pray, Lord, that everything we do is for your glory. And if it's about me, Lord, get me out of the way and may you completely take over. For you are awesome and you are good. For your holy name we pray this, Lord. And all of God's people said,
amen.
Amen. A wonderful day in the Lord.
To him who sent
again, I'd like to thank you for listening to Voice in the Valley. We'd like to remind you that if you'd like to come join us on a Sunday morning, we have a church van that can come and pick you up. Just call the church before 9 a.m. on Sunday. The phone number is 570-645-2212. And leave your name and your address and your phone number, and we'll come pick you up. Also, our Thankful Thrift Store is open every Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. and on Saturdays from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. at 24 West Ridge Street, Lansford. The phone number is 570-645-9920. So if you get a chance, stop by, come in, say hi, and we have all kinds of things in the Thankful Thrift Store. We hope that you have a great and blessed week.